talking about a home. From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, the Charleston Fall Home Show, CharlestonHomeAndDesign.com, and TryAnInteriorDesigner.com. This is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. I'm Michael Blaze with Five Star Real Estate, and this is Talking About a Home.
Tonight I am feeling for you under the state of a strange land. You have sacrificed much to be here. Therefore, the graces I offer my hand. Welcome home. I bid you welcome. I bid you welcome.
Good afternoon. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. That was Welcome Home by Dave Dobbin, in addition to the great Chris Isaacs talking about a home. And special thanks to our show producer, Christine Sinanen, for coming up with today's home theme song. Well, in addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also published Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the two custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home and Design Show, which happens every January, and the Charleston Fall Home Show, which happens every August, both at the Gilliard Center in downtown Charleston. And we also organize the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, which happens every April. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. Today's show is coming to you from Charleston Fine Cabinetry and Interiors, and we'll be talking with Christina Swinney with Charleston Fine Cabinetry and Interiors. We'll also be talking with Master Binds with ERA Realty, landscape architect J.R. Kramer with Remark Landscape Architecture, Rhiannon Esposito with Fine Rugs of Charleston, and also the organizer of the Southern Style Now Festival, which is coming up November 1st through the 4th, Robert Lulla. If you're not receiving our weekly savings club by email, I urge you to reach out to me and I'll make sure to add you to our email list. And each week we send out an email blast to our readers who have opted in to receive our weekly savings club. And we've got about 200 great local companies that advertise in Charleston Home and Design Magazine. And we're in constant contact with them, and we're always asking them, do you have any special deals, anything that, you know, you might be, might have a limited number on, or maybe you're just running a big sale. And they let us know about that, and we send an email out to you. And if you would like to sign up for our weekly savings club, email me at the letter T, as in Tim, T Barkley, B-A-R-K-L-E-Y, at newhomecharleston.com. That's T. Barkley at newhomecharleston.com. Well, today's this week's weekly savings club, Carolina Lanterns, is having a big sale. It ends today, and it's 20% off just about everything in their showroom. And I stopped by there earlier this week. They've got a lot of great kind of scratch and dent items also on sale, some really good deals. So they're having a clearance sale through today. If you there's a big tent outside, if you want to stop by and check that out. Also, GDC Home, they're offering 20% off all tabletop and dining room furniture. Backyard Retreats, they've got a curved love seat, a rocking lounge chair, and a fire table. And those are really cool. You hook them up to a propane tank that's hidden underneath. It's all aluminum and retails for $8,700. And it's on sale for $3,599, and includes the cushions and throw pillow. But the cushions are included, but if you want any throw pillows, those are sold separately. Also, Rick's Lighting and Home, they're having a big 20% off store-wide sale in celebration of their 34th anniversary. And finally, Stephen Shell Living, they're making space for new inventory and holiday trimmings with 20% off all furniture and upholstery in stock only. And that's going on through this Sunday. It's kind of the sale just started a couple days ago, so it's a short sale. Well, have you picked up the new issue of Charleston Home and Design magazine? It has on the cover Jamie Huffman. And she is known for being a contestant on Survivor, the TV show, where she met her husband, also on the same TV show. She's from Greenville originally, and she invites us into her James Island home. And she's known as the Charleston Blonde. She's got quite a few followers on I guess her Instagram, and is quite well known for that. But pick up the new issue of Charleston Home and Design magazine. Just it's in just about every home related store around Charleston, so pick it up, and it's free, of course. Have a great weekend. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Today's radio show is coming to you from Charleston Fine Cabinetry and Interiors, and they're located at 1523 Meeting Street Road in the upper part of downtown Charleston. And now we're talking with Christina Swinney with Charleston Fine Cabinetry and Interiors. How are you doing, Christina?
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Sure, of course. Thanks for hosting today's radio show, Christina. Take a moment and tell everybody about Charleston Fine Cabinetry and Interiors.
Yes, we are a cabinetry company located right off the Meeting Street Road extension. We also specialize in hardwood flooring, cabinet hardware. We have everything interior design wise, and love to work with designers from wallpaper to home furnishings, window treatments. We're pretty much the one-stop shop for all your interior needs.
Right. So, Christina, let's talk about some of the specific products that that people can find here at Charleston Fine Cabinetry and Interiors. I see some flooring samples on the wall over here.
Yes, we're doing a lot with engineered flooring, everything from like a 3-inch builder grade all the way up to a specialty 8 or 9 inch plank. So that's one of the things that, you know, we focus on is being able to coordinate when you come in and speak with us with cabinetry design, is to also be able to integrate those other products such as flooring and cabinet hardware, lighting, all the different products that can really bring the project to, you know, a full scale service.
Gotcha. Yeah, and that's got to be incredibly helpful, because instead of having to visit multiple showrooms, you can come right here to Charleston Fine Cabinetry and Interiors, pick out your cabinets, pick out your the different colors and the cabinet door styles, and then talk with you one-on-one about what kind of flooring, what kind of lighting, am I missing any decorative hardware you mentioned?
So correct.
You really can knock out quite a few selections in one place.
Absolutely. And we even have a nice catalog selection of plumbing fixtures. We usually refer that out as far as your plumbing appliances, those type of things. However, we can look through a lot of catalogs while the clients are here and pretty much guide, you know, go into a nice direction of what the client wants. So when they get to the local plumbing or appliance store, you know, they have all of those things as well figured out.
Mm-hmm. What are the brands of cabinetry that you folks carry here at Charleston Fine Cabinetry and Interiors?
Yes, we have a great economical wine that we sell a lot of. It's great for VRBOs and homes that are price point anywhere between $200 to $400. It's also good for bathrooms, laundry rooms, and that's Fabuwood. Mm-hmm. We can get that product in 3 weeks, and it's an exceptional price point, all wood construction. So we love working with that line. Our mid-level line is Greenfield, and Greenfield is a superior semi-custom cabinet line. It's the one thing that I love about Greenfield is that it's built and manufactured in the same facility as their high-end custom cabinet line. So their door styles, their finishes are all on a nice custom level. However, it saves the client thousands of dollars. And then our upper-end cabinet line, which you all know about, is Plain and Fancy, which I believe you have in your personal home.
We do, yeah. Love Plain and Fancy.
Yeah, so that's just been a really great product for us. It's a good price point, all wood, complete custom, the sky's the limit. Mm-hmm. So as far as options, and that's just been a really good line for us as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, I stumbled on Plain and Fancy cabinetry maybe about 15 to 16 years ago. It was part of a Southern Living magazine idea house on Daniel Island. And I'd never heard of Plain and Fancy, but I thought, what a clever name. It kind of stuck with me. And when we built our house, we ended up integrating Plain and Fancy into our kitchen and a few bathrooms. You know, it's been 10 years, and I have to say that the cabinetry works as well today as it did 10 years ago, and it looks the same. It performs well, you know, 10 years of use with a couple young children, that says something, I think.
Yes, absolutely. And we have specifically chosen the manufacturers that we work with because of the longevity of the product, the price point of the product, the options for the client. A lot of cabinet companies have, you know, maybe 5 to 8 different cabinet lines. We've narrowed ours down to the 3 best of the best cabinet lines. Mm-hmm. We rarely get any complaints back for the quality of the cabinetry. And if it is something, it's something that it's a door that has like a small chip or something, mostly due to, you know, kids and such. Mm-hmm. And the manufacturers that we work with, they will replace those very quickly, and you know, moving forward, no problem. So mm-hmm. We're excited about the cabinet lines that we offer.
That's awesome. And what would you know, if someone is looking to redo their kitchen or they're building a new house, do you do the design, the kitchen layout for them here at Charleston Fine Cabinetry and Interiors?
Absolutely. We can meet with the clients first in our showroom just to kind of give them a feel for options, or we can actually go and meet with them at their home. We measure the space and make sure that, you know, we have all the necessary information that we need to move forward and, you know, build and design their cabinetry. So it's actually a really fun process to go through.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And
each space is so unique and different.
Right, of course. What are what kinds of trends are you seeing as far as homeowners making choices for their cabinetry? Still white, for example?
Yeah, so we definitely have that classic clean kitchen. To me, that's just never going out of style. The pewter grays are kind of fading a little bit. And then we're also doing some rustic, more like a quarter sawn oak, more rustic styles, which is also, you know, really fun. However, when we're guiding a client, we want to think of the longevity of the space and what's easiest to change. Of course, you know, tile or a paint color, some of those things are easier to change, of course, than the cabinetry and the countertop. So mm-hmm. We want to make sure that we take in to account the style of the home, the functionality of the space, and really look in, you know, at the project in detail and also marry it with the other rooms in the home.
Mm-hmm. Have any of your customers really gone with any really bold colors for their cabinetry?
No, navy blue is pretty much the boldest, which we have right here in our showroom. Uh-huh. But besides that, no. Laundry rooms, yes. We've done everything from bright orange, like a bright burnt orange, to some even like a really rich magenta color, which was a lot of fun. So we definitely see it in the laundry rooms and the kids' bathrooms more so. Have even done a couple of offices that had some pretty bold, high gloss lacquered, you know, cabinetry in it. That was a lot of fun. But kitchens, no, not so much.
And mostly painted cabinetry,
yes.
or stain?
Painted. We do some walnuts. Mm-hmm. I love to mix that in a little bit, especially in a classic white kitchen, is to do the island and walnut, mm-hmm. or a cherry stain, quarter sawn drift oak. So those are some of the things that we like to do as far as in the stains, but mostly it's in the paint grades.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, how can folks get more information about Charleston Fine Cabinetry and Interiors?
Yes, just to come in and visit our space. Our showroom is open to the public Monday through Friday. We're here from 9 to 5, and this is a really nice designed showroom space because adjacent to us is Fine Rugs of Charleston. So we like to think of us as a really user-friendly design studio.
Mm-hmm. And you, besides homeowners, you welcome architects and
Absolutely.
Interior designers, builders.
We love working with architects and interior designers, and we feel like we marry very well with them to help complete the project.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And the physical location here?
It's 1523 Meeting Street Road. We are across the street from the new U.S. Chef Store.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're in the same building as Fine Rugs of Charleston, sorry. Fine Rugs of Charleston, and we hope to see you soon.
Very good. Well, we've been talking with Christina Swinney with Charleston Fine Cabinetry and Interiors, and special thanks to Charleston Fine Cabinetry and Interiors for hosting today's radio show. Thanks, Christina. If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and today's radio show is coming to you from Charleston Fine Cabinetry and Interiors. And they're located at 1523 Meeting Street Road in the upper part of downtown Charleston. And they're also, they share a showroom with Fine Rugs of Charleston. And now we're talking with Rhiannon Esposito with Fine Rugs of Charleston. How are you, Rhiannon?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Rhiannon, take a moment and tell everybody about Fine Rugs of Charleston.
All right. Well, Fine Rugs of Charleston is a rug and flooring showroom on Upper Meeting Street in downtown Charleston. We've been around for a while, and we specialize in beautiful hand-knotted area rugs.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah.
And Rob Leahy started Fine Rugs of Charleston, and where does he find these beautiful rugs that you folks sell?
I was going to say, it's actually a really fun process. Rob does a lot of overseas traveling. He goes to countries like Turkey and Morocco. He's actually been traveling to Afghanistan a lot for a current project that he's working on. So he's really able to kind of meet every taste and style through the beautiful things he finds along his journey.
Mm-hmm.
We also, to keep up with current trends for the home today, travel to a lot of U.S. trade shows and rug shows. This summer we went to a huge rug show up in New York City. We travel out to the West Coast, so we really try to look at each market and see what we could find to bring back.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. How would you describe the rugs that people, the area rugs people can find at Fine Rugs of Charleston?
We've got such a mix. We have everything from antiques and vintage rugs to very contemporary items. And, you know, just about everything in between. We have flexibility to do custom options for folks, kind of at all price points and material qualities. So we're really able to.
When you say vintage and antique, like,
yes.
What does that mean?
So vintage rugs are a little more, I guess, flexible in the way you can describe them. There's mm-hmm. a lot of rugs being made today that are finished with a vintage wash just to kind of create some subtlety in the colors and the texture to the rug. You know, it kind of can make it feel as something that's been around for years. And then there are actual vintage or antique rugs,
mm-hmm.
which antiques are usually 100 years or older. So they're things that might have been produced in, you know, the late 1800s or even prior to that. And it's interesting, too, when something's handmade out of wool, just how long it can last.
Mm.
So I think, you know, as things patina, you know, just the same can happen with rugs.
Mm-hmm.
And antique and vintage rugs have a deeper beauty than
mm-hmm.
than some rugs we see today.
What distinguishes a fine rug from, say, one that you might find like in a big box store? Maybe kind of a disposable rug versus, yeah, you know, something that becomes a family heirloom.
I was going to say, I think it's sometimes difficult to explain to someone the quality behind it. So again, it's a handcrafted product. You can kind of think artisan. Someone's actually sitting there and taking the time to knot these patterns in place. Great care goes into the whole production of these things. They're not always mass produced, and you know, it's almost a delicate process as well. There's the dyeing of the yarns and the putting things on loom, and then, you know, working to get the patterns and colors just right and in the right places. So I think just the craftsmanship behind it can create a quality, mm-hmm, differential there. As well, each culture has got different knot structures. So some are tighter, some are denser, some are looser, and that can always kind of speak on the quality of a rug as, mm-hmm, well.
How does a rug last 100 years?
I think, you know, proper care and maintenance is a big thing.
Right.
And as well, wool, think of it, it's like hair. Our hair lasts our whole life long. Mm-hmm. I think it's just such a resilient material that it can be maintained and cared for and stand the test of time.
And these fine rugs can be cleaned quite easily. So,
oh, definitely.
You know, if because, you know, a lot of people, when they make that plunge into buying an expensive rug, they're worried about traffic and maybe somebody spills on it or something like that. But because they're made out of natural materials and not man-made materials, the stains can come up, right?
Oh, exactly. You know, we have went as far as to create a care guide for our customers. We sell so many different fibers to our clientele, and the questions and the concerns are always, well, what will my dog or my kids or my lifestyle do to this rug? So we've kind of taken each fiber that we can offer, wools and silks and cottons and, you know, linens and things like that, and just kind of broken down care and maintenance for each of those things. Mm-hmm. You're definitely going to care for wool in a different way that you would care for cotton. Some things are more delicate than others. So we want to make sure that you're informed and that, you know, there are ways to approach stains or protect against them. And we try to be really helpful in that regard.
You know, I've always heard interior designers say that you should, if you're updating a room or doing a room makeover, start with the rug first, and because it's awfully hard to match maybe existing colors that you might have to a rug itself after the fact.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Maybe I'm biased because I'm in the rug business, but I think starting from the ground up sounds hokey, but it's a good foundation to start from. Mm-hmm. You know, if you find a beautiful rug with reds and blues, now you've got a cue of what else you're looking for in that room. You have a color set to work off of. You've got some pattern or, you know, some detailing that now you can find things to coordinate. And I think, too, sometimes people will choose the fabrics or the components of a room first, and sometimes it is more difficult to work backward and find the perfect thing to plug in. So, mm-hmm, I think it creates a nice basis to begin.
What do you say to some of those people, and I'm one of them, we had young children and we avoided buying an expensive rug, and then we bought a puppy and we said we're going to put off buying that rug. But what do you say to those people who maybe have kids and pets and maybe are worried about making an investment in a rug that, I don't know, somebody might do something that might mess it up?
Yeah, so I feel, you know, again, that's a common question that people ask when they come in and are shopping. I think that you cannot go wrong with wool. You know, if you have kids and dogs, perhaps avoid the more delicate things like silk in a rug, but you can still get a great quality rug, even a finer rug of all wool. Mm-hmm. You can spot clean that as needed. You can have it treated with a protectant to avoid staining and help repel them. So, you know, there's ways around it. I think that, you know, us as experienced salespeople and knowing our business can really help direct to making a good decision that's going to meet all the items on their list.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Fine Rugs of Charleston, you folks also have an outlet center.
We do. It is on East Montague Avenue, up near the Tanger, 3032 Montague Avenue.
Mm-hmm. And I'll just throw in my personal experience. We visited the outlet center, and you folks had a $16,000 rug that was incredibly marked down. I couldn't believe how much. And so we took it home. I mentioned to Rob Leahy afterwards that he knew exactly which rug it was. I don't know how he keep, it's like a dog breeder, how do you keep track of all these puppies, but he knew exactly which rug, and he said, listen, don't freak out. There's going to be some traffic wear, and all you have to do is, be prepared to have it cleaned, and it'll look just, brand new.
It's like they bounce back, but totally. And I laugh when you say he knew just the rug, because I think we grow attachments to these beautiful things as we work with them for a while. And, we're lucky to have the other store as well, because trends change often and everyone's taste is different. We can kind of keep things rotating around and, again, be able to meet the needs that you had at the time of purchase. But yeah, we grow these attachments to things, and they're hard to forget. So we're happy to find them forever homes.
Well, good deal. Well, how can folks get more information about Fine Rugs of Charleston?
Yeah, you can find us on social media or online. Our website is www.finerugsofcharleston.com, and the outlet is finerugsoutlet.com. So our showroom, again, is located at 1523 Meeting Street, and the outlet is up on Montague Avenue.
All right, and you share your showroom with Charleston Fine Cabinetry and Interiors. So you
exactly.
It's kind of a two-for-one when you visit here.
Exactly. You can almost get anything you need.
Right. Well, good deal. Well, we have been talking with Rhiannon Esposito with Fine Rugs of Charleston. Thanks so much, Rhiannon.
Thank you.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and today's radio show is coming to you from Charleston Fine Cabinetry and Interiors, and they're located at 1523 Meeting Street Road in the Upper Peninsula of downtown Charleston. And now we're talking with the organizer of the Southern Style Now Festival, Robert Lola. How are you doing, Robert?
I'm really well, thanks. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. Robert, the Southern Style Now Festival is coming up November 1st through the 4th.
Yes, sir.
Tell our listeners about it.
Well, it is a big shindig. We've got 4 days of programming, November the 1st through the 4th, like you just said, throughout downtown Charleston. We have about 100 of the nation's leading interior designers, interior design editors from leading national magazines, big national companies having to do with interior design, all converging on Charleston from November 1st through 4th. We're having amazing keynotes and panel discussions and lots of partying and lots of alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And, the Southern Style Now Festival, this is the third Southern city in 3 years that you have staged the event.
Yes, sir. That's right. But I think we're going to stay in Charleston, because nobody's ever treated us as nicely as they have in Charleston. The city has been amazing. They're actually designating the week of the festival Charleston Design Week. There's going to be festivities all throughout the city, up and down King Street. And we just invite everybody to check out the website, SouthernStyleNow.com, and take part.
This is I would venture to say that this is kind of like Spoleto for the design world.
Well, I would be so flattered to take that description, because Spoleto is one of the great events in the country. Yes, but I can say that there are no finer interior designers than the ones coming to Southern Style Now.
Right, just like Spoleto, where artists and musicians are coming to Charleston from all over the world. In this case, for the Southern Style Now Festival, you're bringing in all this awesome talent. And talk about some of the specific events that the public can buy tickets for.
Absolutely. Well, so if you buy a ticket, you can come to everything. We have wonderful talks by people like Hutton Wilkinson, Miles Redd, Patricia Altschul, the star of Southern Charm, a local talent. Mm-hmm. Caroline Rome, another local talent who has an amazing new book out. We have parties in a lot of private homes that people otherwise wouldn't have access to. We're very lucky in that way. people have absolutely opened their doors to us. We have amazing fashion designers speaking at Hampton Clothing. So if you are a fashion person, come and see Anne Mashburn and Susan Walker speak. We have just lots of parties and a big open air shopping event taking place on Thursday, November the 1st, up and down King Street. Even if you are a local, you should come. 20% off in many of the stores, and lots of fun demonstrations, and just a full Charleston is opening its doors for those 4 days. Mm-hmm.
And Southern Style Now Festival, I mentioned, this is the third year that it's been staged. And what were the other two cities previously?
First city was New Orleans. Second city was Savannah. Both wonderful cities, but I do say I think we found a home here.
Mm-hmm. And what were some of the takeaways? People who attended the Southern Style Now Festival the last 2 years. What kinds of comments or feedback did you get from folks?
Well, what I have heard consistently is just a real celebration of Southern style, of Southern sensibilities. We all feel that there is a huge renaissance going on in the South right now in terms of design. It's really where it's at. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, but this week Veranda just moved to Birmingham, Alabama. I mean, Hearst is relocating a lot of its major design magazines to Birmingham. It's really we're where it's at right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of and of course a lot of people, homeowners are moving from the Northeast, mm-hmm. moving south, and
right.
We're certainly experiencing that with all the traffic in Charleston.
Right, but, and it's not just because of great property values. It's also because I think the quality of living is so much higher here.
Mm-hmm. How is Southern style influencing the rest of the country?
Well, you know what I think? I think that we have a sense of heritage in the South that is distinct. Not to say that people from other parts of the country aren't very proud of where they come from, but I don't hear people in California describe themselves as like Western designers. I mean, if they did, you would think that they were, having a kind of Gene Autry moment. but I routinely hear people under 30 describe themselves as, I'm a Southern interior designer. And what that means is, I think that there's an effort to incorporate your personal history into your sense of style. So, find a way of working your grandmother's vanity table into your design scheme. And then they're china and silver. And it seems to be like important to showcase your personal history in the South in a way that is distinct.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. What would you say are a couple of your favorite events that you're looking most forward to?
Well, I do think the Sip and Shop up and down King Street is going to be very great, because we have about 24 amazing local retailers offering one night only discount shopping and great displays and demonstrations. So I think that's something that would be fun for everybody, a chance to do a little holiday shopping a little bit early and save some money. But I also think, we're opening our show house at 36 Hazel Street on the Saturday, November the 3rd. And it's really, if you just want to tour the house, during the day, it's an amazing opportunity to see the work of 20 leading Southern interior designers and how they've renovated this 19th century row house over the past 8 months. And it'll all be unveiled that Saturday. And if you want to come to the party that night, you buy a ticket and party with all of the designers, mm-hmm. and have a lot of fun, consume a lot of alcohol.
Robert, talk about your background a little bit.
Great. Well, I worked in magazines for many years. My stopping point was I was the editor-in-chief of Domino Magazine, which is a Condé Nast decorating magazine. And that's really when I kind of keyed in on the fact that something was really going on in the South. I really, working with designers from all over the world, I thought, wow, something's happening in the South, and young people are really finding a way to incorporate, traditional design with contemporary design in a way that's really unique.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the venues here in Charleston that where Southern Style Now, some of the events will be taking place?
Well, the Dewberry Hotel, which is so beautiful, world-class hotel here in Charleston. The Riviera Theater. We have events up and down King Street, including like Mitchell Hill, a wonderful interior design shop in the 400 block of King Street. Amelia Handigan, one of your great interior designers, is allowing us to use her studio for a couple of events. And then just a lot of wonderful private homes in the historic district.
Mm-hmm. We as you know, we organize a couple custom home shows here in Charleston, and it's an incredible amount of work. And you do not reside in Charleston, at least.
I'm a carpetbagger at the moment. Yes,
that must be an incredible challenge to organize an event like this with so many moving parts from far away.
It's a challenge. Thank goodness I have a little apartment here for the month, so I'm here for a while. I found a wonderful little guest house on the Battery. Mm-hmm. So I get to wake up in the beauty of downtown Charleston every moment.
That's great.
Every morning. But yes, it is there's no part about it that's easy. I think it was conceived in a manic phase.
How have you been received by some of the local businesses and local designers?
Just with enormous generosity and hospitality. I don't think I've ever been treated better in my life anywhere. The city itself has been enormously supportive.
Mm-hmm. If you're like me, when our home show is we finally put all the details together, I'm already starting to think about the next one. So
yes.
That's going to be a tough one to follow up in the same city.
Yeah, but I got big plans.
You do already?
I do, yeah.
Good, I like
do.
That.
Yeah.
Well, how can folks get more information about the Southern Style Now Festival?
Well, I invite you to go to the website, southernstylenow.com. It'll have a full schedule of events for those 4 days and a breakdown of tickets that might be right for you. And it'll tell you all about the show house at 36 Hazel Street.
Very good. And the website is southernstylenow.com?
Yes, sir.
Good deal. Well, we have been talking with the organizer of the Southern Style Now Festival, Robert Lulla. Thanks so much, Robert.
My pleasure.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and today's radio show is coming to you from Charleston Fine Cabinetry and Interiors, and they're located at 1523 Meeting Street Road in the upper part of the peninsula in downtown Charleston. And now we're talking with landscape architect J.R. Kramer, with Remark Landscape Architecture. How are you, JR?
Great, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Sure. JR, take a moment. Tell everybody about Remark Landscape Architecture.
Yeah, we're a landscape architecture firm in the Upper Peninsula. We're going in our 11th year of business. It's kind of crazy how time goes by.
I know.
And our team has grown. So I have 5 associates with Holly and I. So we're an office of 7 landscape architects and designers. And we focus on quality design and high-end residential, and commercial and urban design.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Who needs a landscape architect?
In my mind, everyone needs a landscape architect. No, but seriously, I think anybody that's thinking about possibly doing an addition that could affect the exterior, whether in designing a swimming pool for the backyard, building a new house, or just looking to increase your outdoor living space mm-hmm. or curb appeal.
Gotcha. And there are some neighborhoods in Charleston that require you to hire a landscape architect, not a landscape designer, or not, you know, a friend who maybe can has some software at home or something like that. They require you to hire a landscape architect specifically. Why is that?
Yeah, I think they're looking for more than just planting design when they're requesting a landscape architect, because we think about the drainage, how we tie the design back to the architecture of the home, or thinking about the microclimates, and just in generally just how we create a cohesive design that fits the place and the neighborhood in the Lowcountry.
Mm-hmm. There's also standards that certain neighborhoods, I'm thinking of like Daniel Island or Kiowa, for example, they've got certain standards that they don't want to compromise on, and that's helped to drive up the values of the homes in those neighborhoods, because they're beautiful custom built homes, and they have beautiful landscape design on the outside.
Yeah, that's correct. I think that's one of the things that the value that a landscape architect brings on these projects really helps keep the home value up, keeps that curb appeal up. I know right now I think we have like 7 projects on Daniel Island, and we're actually 5 of them are in the new phase of Daniel Island, which they have some different standards there. Mm-hmm. And it's been interesting as we've been getting our projects through the review board and how they're just even increasing the standards further from the previous phases of Daniel Island.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what would you say some of those standards are?
I mean, really just thinking about not only your site, but your neighbors around. They're really thinking about the screening of certain areas of a home, really concentrating on drainage. Drainage is really important. And just also thinking about that. They're thinking about that curb appeal. How do we bring fences, walls, and columns into play on these designs, but yet still keeping that natural feel in this next phase on Daniel Island? So it's a little bit different than the previous phases, where it's a little bit more manicured, but this next phase is much more naturalistic, mm-hmm. which is nice.
You know, when you are building a new home, you sort of have to suspend reality, I tell a lot of people, because otherwise it's going to kind of drive you crazy with the money that you're spending. But, you know, one of the things that we kept in mind was, okay, take a deep breath. Every penny we're spending, we're going to get back. It's an investment. So the money that we're spending now, even though it might be, you know, difficult to stroke that check, you're going to get your money back, many times over, because you are using, if you're using quality materials, for example, and quality craftsmen, and the reality is, when you're building a house, the outcome is not guaranteed. I mean, it's possible that you've decided to spend X amount of dollars and you assume everything's going to be great, but you're going to, the outcome is going to be guaranteed if you have a landscape architect involved, because what's involved with the schooling of a landscape architect?
Yeah, I went to school at University of Georgia. I have a 5-year degree, and we focus on drainage, engineering, architecture, construction detailing, ecology. I mean, a lot of things goes into our degree.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the unique things here in the Charleston area that I'm sure you work with a lot of transplants, people who've moved here from maybe the Northeast, for example, and what are some of the differences in our climate versus what they're used to?
The type of color they're looking for, some of the types of trees, they're definitely here, especially in the Northeast, where in the summer you have very vibrant colors with the perennials and things. It's hard to get that here. We get perennial color, but it's really hard because we have a really long growing season, and it's just not quite as vibrant as it is in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the, the standard plantings and things that you always use with some of your different projects with Remark Landscape Architecture?
Yeah, the one thing that we're always looking at, where are we at? Are we close to the salt marsh? Or are we a little bit inland? Because if we're close to the salt marsh, we're definitely going to be thinking about things like sweetgrass, spartina, saw palmetto, dwarf palmetto, yew palm, holly as a backbone for a design, because they can handle that salt tolerance of where the tides and things are influencing in the soil levels.
Mm-hmm. What's the biggest mistake that you find homeowners make? Because besides new construction, you also work with homeowners that are in existing homes.
They do. They a lot of times they call us and say, it has happened recently to where they've already had a contractor install a new patio. And I think, and they go, oh, we're here to do a planting enhancement. So we call it a landscape architect. And sometimes I think they just think that we do planting plans. But I'm like, well, no, we'll think about your screen porch. We'll think about, and we could even think about, an addition and then bring in an architect. But just thinking about holistically how you're going to live in your space. And but that's the one thing I think is sometimes they just think that we do planting plans and things, not realize the level of design that we get into.
How about maybe planting shrubs or trees maybe too close to the home?
We do. I mean, that happens all the time. And that's one thing, like in Daniel Island specifically, there's a really high planting requirements. So we've developed some details and ways to help keep the plants away from the foundation with incorporating gravel detail that helps with the drainage, helps with servicing around the home, helps keep bugs away. So it's a detail. It's funny, is the Daniel Island originally kind of pushed us on that a little bit, like, well, why are you doing this? And now it's become we do it in every single design, and it's saw it in their recent guidelines. They have a picture of a detail like that, so I was kind of excited to see.
And do you integrate hardscapes into your designs at Remark Landscape?
We do. We really do a lot with hardscape design, and just really just think about, I mean, our design in some ways it starts right outside the house, but at the same time, I want to know how people live in their house. I want to be able to talk with our interior designer. What's the theme of inside? Is it modern? Was it coastal? So that way we can bring that feeling to the outside and merge everything together.
Mm-hmm. How flooding has been a big issue lately, and how does Remark Landscape Architecture address flooding? And drainage it seems like such a boring subject to people, but it's incredibly important.
It is really important. I mean, that's one of the first things that we start looking at when we're designing, is looking at the drainage patterns, thinking about, especially if it's a new house, how much water is going to be coming off of this home where there was no existing structure before, and where is that water going to go? I was just speaking with an architect last night on a project downtown, and where the house is, it used to be marsh. Mm-hmm. So whenever there's a tide, they get anywhere from 6 inches to 18 inches of water. And so we're just trying to think, how can we handle this on this site? And, it's hard. Mm-hmm. It really is. But, there's things that we can do to help mitigate some of that, and just really just try to work with the land, really create a system approach to where everything works together.
Mm-hmm. And some parts of town require you to be responsible for your own runoff. So like Sullivan's and Isle of Palms, for example, there's a certain percentage of surface area that you're allowed, and then you've got to have permeable pavers and things like that so that you're the rain runoff is not going onto your neighbor's property or out in the street. It's going to percolate through the soil.
That's
on
correct.
Your own property.
Yep. Sullivan's, Wild Dunes, Isle of Palms, and really when you're building a new home, it's South Carolina law that you're not supposed to put your stormwater onto someone else's property. And I know sometimes we get these hurricanes and things, and you have a foot of water. Mm-hmm. You can't help that. I mean, that's going to go somewhere. But in normal, typical rain events, we really look at where that's going to go. And in some of these communities, like Sullivan's Island, there's no stormwater in the streets, or the DOT would not let us tie into the stormwater, mm-hmm. which would make logical sense, but because that system's already inundated. And so we have to create these closed systems, incorporating rain gardens and French drains, and do the best we can with what we're dealt with.
Mm-hmm. We've been talking mostly about residential, but Remark Landscape Architecture, you folks do a lot of commercial work too.
Yeah, we do. We do a lot of commercial work and urban design work.
Where can someone maybe drive by and see some of the work, the commercial work you do? Because a lot of times people can steal ideas and for their own home just by looking at maybe some kind of landscape design that they see at a restaurant or something like that.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Because I'm always inspired by a lot of commercial and urban places. But some of our work that you can see in the Upper Peninsula. Butcher and Bee, Lewis Barbecue, and then a project we recently got a design award for is the Pacific Box and Crate, the workshop. We mm-hmm. received a South Carolina ASLA Honor Award for that project, so we're very proud of that. Mm. And then we have a new project that recently opened up in Mount Pleasant Street, the Container Bar.
Those are pretty high-profile projects.
Yeah, they are. We're very excited and very blessed to be part of those projects.
Well, that's great. Well, how can folks get more information about Remark Landscape Architecture?
Yes, they can go to our website, remarkstudiollc.com, or they can call the office, 843-952-7817.
All right, great. Well, we have been talking with landscape architect J.R. Kramer with Remark Landscape Architecture. Thanks so much, J.R.
Thank you.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and today's radio show is coming to you from Charleston Fine Cabinetry and Interiors, and they're located at 1523 Meeting Street Road in the upper peninsula of downtown Charleston. And now we are talking with Master Bynes with ERA Realty. How are you doing, Master?
Everything is well, and yourself?
Good, good. Master, take a moment and tell everybody about your business with ERA Realty.
Okay, great question. My name is Master Bynes. I'm affiliated with ERA Wilder Realty and James Allen's office. And, you know, one of the tools that I love about working with ERA is they have a lot of technology to help, you know, sellers get more exposure of selling, of getting their home sold. And one great tool that I like is called Text ERA. It's a, you know, that's the way a lot of consumers are communicating faster today. And we have a like a number where it could be on the for sale sign. And as buyers and as walking by, driving by, they can text that particular code and automatically it will notify the listing agent that someone is interested in that particular home. And, you know, then we also have a tool called Zap, which captures 24/7 live activity on who's really looking or who's really, you know, ready to buy, like right now. So that's just something that's a great tool because 94, I think we have like a 94% opening rate of text messages.
Gotcha. Good deal. Well, it's how is the real estate market in Charleston?
Real estate market is great right now. I mean, you have, you know, maybe about, say, 38 to 51 people a day moving to Charleston. A lot because of the industries. You know, you have your Boeing, you know, you have your Volvo, you have Mercedes, Google. So the job, you know, the job market in those particular areas will, you know, attract people to buy more homes.
What would you, what kind of advice would you give to people who are maybe looking to hire a realtor?
Great question. Someone who's going to be, you know, have integrity, you know, is going to be a problem solver, which I am. That's like a good trait of mine, being a problem solver. And is going to really be accountable for what they do. And four things that set me apart is if I'm hired to sell someone's home, I have what you call, which is an easy exit listing agreement, which means you can cancel that agreement anytime if I'm not doing what I say I'm doing. Okay, I also have a flexible fee structure based off the offices that, based off the services that's being offered. So it's not just a standard where everybody offers. It's flexible depending on the type of transaction it is. Then, you know, I guarantee communication. You know, whether you have a lot of activity or whether you have no showings, you always know what's going on, you know, with your house. And then, you know, the fourth thing is the list of plan of action for exactly what I'm going to do throughout the period of, you know, you working with me, no client working with me.
What would be an example of the flexible fee schedule?
Well, just say, for example, sometimes a client may have a buyer in mind, and they bring the buyer to the transaction. So instead of maybe charging that 6%, you maybe get, maybe charge 5%.
That's good. That's good. How do you handle maybe an unrealistic expectation from a homeowner on how much their house is, how valuable their house is?
Great question. Well, my experience, I do appraisals, so which is called broker price opinions, and I evaluate properties for mortgage companies and banks throughout Charleston County. So that gives me a heads. That gives me very expert knowledge on pretty much what a home will sell for, you know, in the area. And also, you know, you do a CMA. And so that's just presenting the facts, what the price ranges are. But the ultimate decision is the seller. But I present the facts based off of what's been active, what's been sold, you know, how many days is on the market compared to what's today's home that's being on the market. And, you know, and I evaluate it that way.
What is a, an optimal number of days for a house to be on the market if it's priced right?
Charleston County right now, because it's a seller's market, I would say about 41 days if it's priced right. You know, fairly good condition, you know, fairly good location. It's gonna sell quickly.
And so, in the flip side of that, if it's not priced right, you might get an offer the very first day that it goes up on the MLS.
Yeah, you. I mean, you're still gonna get, you know, you said if it's not priced right.
If it maybe it's priced too low, for example.
I mean, It all depends on different factors, the location and condition. But if it's something where, you know, the client have interest, you know, you will get some showings. Mm-hmm. Just because the inventory is low.
Right, right. What kinds of suggestions do you make to the homeowners to prepare their house to put it up for sale? Like, a friend of mine's a realtor, and he told me that he always gets a home inspection done so that you know that the house will eventually be inspected by someone. So you might as well find out what these issues are before somebody else, you know, surprises you with them.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's a great valid point. But what I always do is set expectations up front. What can happen? Mm-hmm. So what I do is I offer what you call complimentary services. As far as I have a mover, I have a trash out person, I have a locksmith person, I have a lawnmower person. So I take all that pressure off my clients before I actually put the house on the market. Mm-hmm. So that's what you call complimentary services. That's something that I offer.
Like, moving out of your house, that's something you pick up the tab on?
I don't pick up the tab, but the client normally will pick up the tab because it's a service that they need.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And what's been, can you think of like a challenging property that you had to sell and how you kind of overcame that?
Yeah, one of my specialties is estate sales. And with estate sales, you know, sometimes, you know, there can be, you know, work that need to be done to the house. And a lot of times when someone comes to look at the house, put an offer on the house, you ratify the contract, got the closing date set. So a lot of times during the inspection process, you know, they want to come back and renegotiate. Mm-hmm. So that at that point, you know, your client has a certain price in mind where they think they walking away with. So that's when you got to really think about your client, not about yourself or what commission you're going to make the deal work. Because the goal is to get to the closing table and close. So I think that was a time where I had to really advise my client, you know, we got a cash offer. You know, we haven't had an offer in a while, but we got a cash offer. It's not exactly what you want, but it's cash. Mm-hmm. Cash is king. And eventually, she thought about it. And eventually, you know, she accepted the offer and closed. Mm-hmm.
Because someone may put a contract in a house, but then their financing falls through or something, and that can eat up a couple weeks of the whole process.
That too. But sometimes dealing with investors that I deal with investors a lot of times with different strategies when someone's buying a house. So a lot of times they will come in and want to renegotiate during a certain period of the inspection period. Mm-hmm. And that is something that you have to expect. Mm-hmm. So, you know, since, you know, that happened and, you know, it was a good house, good location. I just advised my client, it would just wise to accept the the renegotiating price.
Right, right. Bird in hand, right?
And which she did.
Very good. Well, Master, how can folks get more information about your business with ERA Realty?
Great question. I have a website, which is called Master. It'll be MasterSellHomes Charleston.info.com. That's my personal website. My number is 843-514-4706.
Okay. Well, good deal. Well, we have been talking with Master Bynes with ERA Realty. Thanks so much, Master.
All right. Thank you. Talking about a home.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Talking About a Home is brought to you by the publishers of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and the organizers of the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, and the Charleston Fall Home Show. To make contact with any of the companies featured today, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com, home to over 200 local home-related companies motivated to work with you. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next Saturday.